Good to see each one of you here. If you're visiting with us, you are welcome. You are honored guests. We hope you'll come back and worship with us every opportunity that you have. There are many questions and many things that we will question and wonder about as long as we live. One of those is the resurrection of the dead. Now, we believe and we are assured that it's going to happen. But what's involved in that? Do you know folks have been living and dying for a long time? Go back. The first human being to die was a man by the name of Abel, and his own brother killed him. Remember, that's the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis. From that period on, we've been reading about death. Adam and Eve understood that upon eating of that forbidden fruit, death would come. But that's the way man is. Say, when I was a child, we had a lot of places there where I grew up, on the creeks and on little ponds of water. If you have something in that tank that you want somebody to get out, just put a sign up, no fishing. And sure enough, somebody's going to snag whatever that is, because when you put up no fishing, that's where they're going to go, and they're going to fish there. There's just something about us, isn't there? This morning I talked about questions, and we are a questioning people, and I'm glad we are. You don't learn unless you ask a question. We need to have students in classes that'll ask, what does this mean? The Lord's disciples did. And I pointed out to you this morning that the Lord often in his teaching used questions. So we have a question, don't we? What happened to your mom and daddy? What happened to your grandma and grandpa? Where is grandma and grandpa? Where is mom and daddy? Where's your brother and sister? Or husband or wife? Where are they? Now, I know what the Scripture says. You know what the Scripture says. But we still have questions, don't we? And one of the great questions that will always be with us until it happens is the resurrection. It'll always be a question. You say, well, you've explained it, Dan, over and over. I don't care how often I explain it. And I don't care how often I read it and how much I study it. I still don't understand. Nor will you. It's out of our realm. That is something beyond human understanding, human reasoning, to be able to explain everything that is meant thereby. I want to talk a little bit about the resurrection tonight. And again, like I say, you're going to still have questions, just like I do. The Lord, in his teaching in John 5, 28 and 29, said this, "The hour is coming when all that are in the graves will hear my voice and will come forth. Some unto the resurrection of life, and some unto the resurrection of damnation." First Thessalonians 4. I didn't put that up here, but there's another good verse of Scripture. First Thessalonians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul says, "I would, brethren, that ye not be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep, that you sorrow not as others who have no hope. But we believe and we are assured from what Jesus told us and what God has shown us. And we believe that they will come forth. That they're in a better place. And in the day of resurrection, those that sleep in Jesus, listen to this, 1 Thessalonians 4, those that sleep in Jesus will he bring with him. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead will rise. Then we which are alive and remain, in other words, there are going to be people alive when Jesus comes again. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And there we'll ever be with the Lord. So just comfort one another with these words. The brethren in Thessalonica, like Killeen, Texas, were concerned about the dead. They were concerned about the resurrection. Some people even thought Jesus already forgot about it. Know it? In the first century. I'm not talking about today. Even in the days of the apostles, they questioned the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 14, the apostle Paul, in reference to, he said, look, if we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, then how come some of you are going around saying there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Jesus was not raised. Now, if Jesus was not raised, you're yet in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Jesus have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're all men most miserable. Y'all get that verse, don't you? For years, I wondered, what was he talking about? If in this life only you have hope in Christ. You know what he's talking about, don't you? If all you and I have is this life, then we're going to be all men most miserable. If this is all there is, if this is the hope you have, then I'm like Job. I wish it had been said at the night of my birth, he's stillborn. You know Job said that? Job said, I had rather died when I was young than to go through all of this stuff and there is nothing left. Y'all see? Brethren have always wondered about it. You and I wonder about it. Jesus said in John 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And though one be dead, he shall forever live that believes in me. I love Daniel 12, 2. What it says? Then shall the dust give up the dead that is in it. You've read what the wise man said in Ecclesiastes, right? At the point of death, the body goes back to the dust from whence it came. And the spirit returneth to God who gave it. You have questions? Where's your spirit go? Where do you go when you die? You go back to a place that God has reserved for you, and he will keep you until the day of resurrection. Now, he takes care of that, not me. I'm just a spokesman. I'm just somebody who's reading what he says and telling you, here's what he said. That when a man dies, his spirit leaves his body. The body goes back to the dust from whence it came, and the spirit return to God who gave it. And if you read about your little animals, you know what it says there, don't you? There is a difference between a man and a beast. You got a little dog? I got a little dog. Do you know my little dog sleeps right beside me? He loves me. And by the way, my dog knows my footsteps. If I walk over to the building and I walk back, That little dog goes to barking when he hears me walking up the sidewalk. He knows. And he also knows the sound of my car. Here he comes running. I love that little dog. And little children will ask their mama and daddy, "What's happened to my little dog?" Let me tell you what Ecclesiastes said. Who can tell the life of the little animal? The spirit of the animal that goeth back to the earth, and the spirit of man that goeth back to God. We're different. We've been given an eternal spirit. I know that's sad. I love Benny and Benny loves me, but that's what it says. But in Daniel 12 and verse 2, "Then they that sleep in the dust of the earth shall arise." Hey, that's what's going to happen at the last day. Those that sleep in the dust of the earth are going to rise. Who is it that's asleep in the dust? Your body. Your spirit has gone to be with the Lord. Then what is deposited? What do you carry out here to the graveyard? You carry a body. That's all it is. The soul, the spirit, gone. It is in another place. But your body will be deposited where? By the way, this don't sound good. But it's also called wormswood. In the scripture. You know what that means, right? Do you know that there are tribes of native in various places that bury their dead under a tree? Why? So the dead bodies can nourish that tree to grow stronger. Maybe they got more up here than we do. Then shall those that sleep in the dust of the earth arise. Well, now then, I thought the Spirit, that's right. But how did God make Adam? He had no spirit in him. He was as dead as a hammer. He was made out of the dust of the earth, and he did not live, what? Until God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then he became a living soul. Y'all see? So what happens to the body? Body goes back to the dust from whence it came. But something revolutionary is going to happen. That's going to cause people's hair to stand on end. By the way, if you, and it will be, if the Lord comes tomorrow, there'll be some folks attending a funeral service. And the corpse is going to get up out of the box. Am I right? Yeah. Dead are going to rise. Well, what is it that rises? It's the body. Well, why is the Lord? Because he's going to show the power of God over the devil once for all. That who really is in charge? Sir, you've had it. I'm going to show the power of Almighty God by the resurrection of the dead. By the way, Revelation 20 and verse 13 says something else. Yes, and those that are in the sea shall come forth. Have you seen when someone's in the Navy and when they die aboard ship, what do they do with the body? They wrap it in. Push it off into the ocean. So Revelation 20 in verse 13 says, "And those that sleep, those bodies that are in the ocean will come forth." By the way, there's scripture that says those devoured a wild beast will come forth. What's a wild beast eat? Your physical body. In other words, there's going to be a physical resurrection. Just like God made Adam out of the dust of the ground, he's going to call. You know what? And I've said this many times. We're living in Indian territory. Some of my people were Cherokee Indian way back. And we have an old cemetery that has a number of them in it. There's no way for you to know how many people you're walking on when you walk out of this building. Do you know that? They're in the dirt around here. I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm just telling you that the body goes back to the dust from which it came. Then God's going to show His power by calling forth that body again. But you know what? It won't be the same. This body hurts. This body deteriorates. But that body, when He raises it, He's going to change it. And by the way, there's a verse for that. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet will be sounded, and the dead will be raised, and we will be changed. We will have a body, a spiritual body, that is without decay. Those who get to go into heaven. The curse of sin is death. That's Romans 6:23. Romans 3:23 says we've all sinned. And then Romans 6:23 says, and the sentence of sin is death. But the resurrection ends that. 1 Corinthians 15:25-26. What does it say? And the last enemy that's going to be destroyed is what? Death. There will be no more death. We won't be saying goodbye anymore, folks. We're going not only to an eternal home, we're going to have eternal bodies, and they won't deteriorate. We won't be needing to run to HEB and get ice cream. Now, if you go to that other place, you may be wanting some ice cream, but remember that guy, Luke 16? Send him so he can dip his finger in water and touch my tongue. I'm tormented. But what I'm telling you is, we make it to heaven. It's going to be a glorious thing because death's gone. It's over with. It's finished. No more. You won't be saying goodbye anymore. Now, just so to show you, and Jesus showed us because that He has the power, and all authority, all power has been given to Christ, and Christ is going to give the shout. That's what John 5:28 says, and then the dead's going to rise. So He's been assured by the Father, you'll give the word, and it's going to happen. Jesus already raised the dead, hasn't He? Yeah. That's in Mark chapter 5. Bible says that there was a time when, as they were walking along, here comes a man, and he's a ruler of the synagogue, and he runs up to Jesus, bows before Him, and says, Master, my daughter is near death. Would you please come and save her from death? So the record says that he started going with the man, and others were following, and they were going to Jairus' house. On the way, there was a woman that stopped him. She touched the hem of his garment, remember? And her issue of blood was cleansed. And so that took quite a bit of time. Everybody was excited there. Here comes a servant. And he says to Jairus, your little girl's dead. No point in bothering the master. So Jairus said, thank you, master. But he said, she's not dead. Come on, let's go. They go to his house, and Jesus goes up to the body of that little girl. Oh, by the way, she was 12 years old. Body of that little girl, took her by the hand, said, get up, sugar. And she rose up. And he said to Mom and Daddy, cook her something to eat. She's hungry. That was a beautiful story. I always liked that. Another time they're going and they come to this little village. It's called Nain. And there's a funeral procession out here. And a young man has died. And he's the son of a widow there in that town. And the record says that Jesus went up to the bier and he asked them to stop. And they did. And Jesus said to the young man, "Get up, son." And immediately the young man got up and began to talk. He gave him back to his mother, and there was great rejoicing. In John the 11th chapter, Jesus is sent for. He and his disciples are in another area, and he's teaching. And here comes someone that says that, you remember Lazarus, he's very ill, and the sisters want you to come. But it says he continued 2 more days in his work. Finally, he says to his disciples, let's go back to Bethany. Our friend Lazarus, he's asleep. And I go to, they said, "Well, if he's sleeping, he's doing well, Lord." He flatly said to them, "He's dead. Now I'll go back to raise him to life." As they draw near, remember, here comes the sister. And she begins to say to the Lord, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." That's when Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live." You remember. Then the record says that she went away and she told her sister, "The Lord's there and he's calling for you." Well, he wasn't calling for her, but that, you see, that's the family. She wants her sister to be involved too. So Mary and Martha. So he said to the Lord, "Lord, Mary, if you had been here, Lord, he would not have died." He said, "Where's he at?" And they showed him the tomb. So he goes to the tomb. He said, "Your brother's going to rise." They said, no, Lord. He'd been dead 4 days. He smells by now." They didn't embalm, see, back then. Well, the Jews didn't embalm. "Lazarus been dead 4 days. He stinketh by now," King James said. Jesus travailed in the spirit. And the Bible says when he saw Mary and Martha weeping and the Jews that were weeping, he wept. And you know, it's wonderful to know that the Lord weeps with us. Then he feels our pain. He knows what we're going through. In a way, he cried with a voice, loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came out of the tomb, bound. Jesus said, "Unbind him, turn him loose." And so there you have the resurrection of Lazarus. By the way, at the end of all will be raised, John 5:28-29. These are just examples to show you that he has that power. He's done it. But at the end of ages, he's going to call forth and everybody will come forth. But I wanted to talk to you, too, a little bit about the present resurrection that we have. And the scripture talks about it as well. And that's in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And he makes a statement. He says that you and I, children of God, that we have come forth from the dead, that we've been raised to walk a new life in Christ. But God, in his great rich mercy, for a great mercy that he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Okay. A person who has not obeyed his Lord is a walking corpse. He's dead. Now, the dead need to live. Remember old Nicodemus said to the Lord, "Lord, what do I need to do to go to the kingdom of heaven?" He said, "You got to be born again. You're a dead man. You need to be made alive." You and I go through a resurrection. You know, we die and we go through the resurrection. Here, through our obedience to Christ. So that's the resurrection, the present resurrection that you and I enjoy in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. Know you not that so many of us baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. We were buried with him, therefore, in baptism, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we're going to be raised up to walk in a new life. There it is. We have a resurrection. That resurrection's already occurred because we've obeyed the gospel. Now, we're going to have another one coming that's going to be that physical. But you and I, our spirit man has been made over. We belong to Christ through resurrection. We died to the love and practice of sin. We then were obedient. We were buried because we were dead. And then we were raised up from the dead to walk a new life. Romans 6 and verse 6. Raised to walk a new life. Now, we look forward to our new spiritual body, but in the meantime, we must use the body we have as a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul said that that's what we are now. We're to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Philippians 3, 20 and 21 says, our conversation then is from heaven, from whence cometh our Lord Jesus Christ. We are looking to heaven for the coming of our Lord, who will change our vile bodies, that they may be conformed to His glorious body. In other words, we're going to be like the Lord. What kind of body did Jesus have when Saul of Tarsus saw Him on the road to Damascus? Why, He shined greater than the noonday sun. Remember? Now, ask yourself the question, what does it mean in Malachi chapter 3 when it says that in that day that you and I will shine like the stars of the firmament? Now then, you want to tell me why there won't be any night there? Because we're going to be shining. That's right. You won't need Thomas Edison. Well, I hope he makes it, but you won't need Thomas Edison to provide light. Because we're the light. We're going to be like him. Paul said that the light was greater than that of the noonday sun. And by the way, in God, the scripture says, there is no darkness. God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. So don't worry about it, friends. You say, well, Dan, what are we going to do when it's time to go to sleep? There ain't going to be any sleeping either. Everything that you and I have known is gone. Except the love that we have. Because God is love. You see what I'm saying? You talk about questions. You talk about how in the world is this going to be? I don't know. All I know is what He said. And what He said, we can trust. We can depend on Him. There is coming a resurrection. You who belong to the Lord are going to get a new body. And it's going to be a spirit body. And it's going to shine like the stars of heaven. Your mama and your daddy, your grandma, your grandpa, your brother, your sister, your son, your daughter. It's going to be a life like, there's no way explaining it. Yeah, there's coming a resurrection. Well, why not now? See, there again. That's all we do is ask questions. Why are you delaying it, Lord? If the Lord wants to wait 10,000 years, that's fine with me, folks. I'm on my way out anyway. Did you know I've already been here as long as He said I was allotted? The rest of it's borrowed time. I'm living on, what do they call it, the grace period? Yeah, and a number of you are too. I'm not the only one. 70 years. And the Bible says if it grows to be 80 years, then is there strength of labor and toil, and soon we'll be cut off, and we'll what? Fly away. We're going to fly away. And you don't need Delta. You know? It's beyond It's beyond, there's no way I can explain it. But I hope some of the things that we talked about tonight will strengthen our faith and we'll grow stronger in the Lord every day. If you're subject to His invitation tonight, we encourage you to come to Him before it is everlasting too late. You believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then repent of that life of sin. Turn away from that stuff. It's not doing you any good anyway. See, that's what gets you. The world tries to convince us that that's where happiness is. That is no happiness there. It's just not. It's nothing but sadness. And the end result is death. So get out of it. Repent. Turn to the Lord. Confess Him as Lord. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And the Lord will add you to His spiritual body. Be faithful until death. And heaven will be your home in the after while. If you drifted away and you need to come home, let's pray together and the Lord will receive you. If you'd like to place your membership with us, we want you to come while together we stand and sing.